morning of October 7th, 2023, approximately 6,000 Hamas soldiers flying paragliders and riding motorcycles skirted around the most heavily defended security wall in the world, somehow evading the fences, observation towers, cameras, sensors, barbed wire, and remote-controlled machine guns, dividing Israel and Gaza. These 6,000 madmen, who trained for their dastardly sneak attack in full view of the IDF for months, then proceeded to roam around the Israeli countryside for hours with complete impunity, killing hundreds of Israeli civilians and not beheading babies and not raping women while IDF forces watched, because those IDF soldiers had been ordered to stand down that morning.
All stations, I don't know why, I don't know how, something along those lines. No patrol on the fence. What, and this is at 5:20 in the morning. All stations are to hold their positions.
Then the IDF sprung into action by implementing a policy to kill their own citizens in the event of a hostage situation. Luckily, the news anchors knew exactly what had happened within minutes.
Now, the Israeli military says this infiltration came by land, by sea, and by air in the form of Hamas gunmen on paragliders.
The U.S. Senate knew within hours.
And Iran is teamed up with Hamas, is what we are hearing.
And the Israeli government knew within the day.
Ezrachei Israel, anachu b'milchama, lo b'mivtza, lo b'svavim, b'milchama.
But for some reason, a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists began to ask questions about the most startling security failure in the history of the most heavily defended border in the world.
So the idea that Hamas could infiltrate about 20 communities inside Israel and attack the citizens without
simultaneously any
immediate response from Israel is extraordinary.
It is absolutely extraordinary.
Those conspiracy theorists dared to ask why the border guards were told to stand down that morning. Why Unit 8200 provided no geolocation data to security forces despite Hamas fighters using phones and radios inside Israel for hours, why the IDF ignored alerts of Hamas aerial activity hours before the attack took place, and why the Prime Minister, Defense Minister, and IDF chief didn't even speak with each other until 4 hours into the crisis. But they're just anti-Semitic loons, so they would ask those questions. Even so, the IDF provided answers to all the hard questions in their comprehensive after-action report, concluding that the Israeli army had failed in its mission to protect Israeli civilians, because no one could have predicted Hamas's intentions and readiness for a wide-scale surprise attack. Except for the Egyptian government, Israeli military intelligence, and the IDF's own border defense corps. The Northern Brigade and Gaza Division had no coordination with the police, and the IDF didn't even know the Nova Music Festival was under attack for 3 hours, but that's okay because they were probably all trying their best. The police documents about the security for the Nova Music Festival were deleted by unknown individuals months after the attacks, but that's okay because it's probably just part of routine record keeping. A Columbia Law School paper found traders informed about the coming attacks profited from these tragic events, but the original paper made a currency error that didn't affect the conclusion, so there's probably nothing to see here. This man never existed, nor is anything he had to say worthy of your attention, and if you say otherwise, you are a paranoid conspiracy theorist and deserve to be shunned by all of humanity. Likewise, him, 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 and her. And her, and her, and him. After the dust settled, we were reliably informed that,
like
the false flag events of
December 7th, 1941, and
the false flag events of
September 11th, 2001, October 7th is a day that will forever live in infamy.
As a result, the Israeli forces made up for their error by gently and proportionately leveling Gaza, killing 75,000 civilians, blockading humanitarian aid, massacring people begging for food, telling people to move to areas that were then bombed, bombing hospitals that Hamas fighters were not occupying, and destroying the vast underground Hamas supervillain bunker that didn't exist. This is the story of 10-7, brought to you by the same media which told you the hard truths about the
best Biden ever,
and 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and AI-generated rat penises, and the USS Liberty. If you have any questions about this story, you are a terror-loving anti-Semitic libtard who deserves to be deported regardless of citizenship status. If you love the government of Israel and or peace, tranquility, cooperation, fresh bagels, and this adorable baby, you will never express doubts about any part of this story to anyone.
Ever.
This has been a public service announcement by the Friends of the IDF, the Epstein Influence Network, AIPAC, the ADL, the Israeli government spokespeople in the media, and the Likudniks. Because ignorance is strength.
Let's add some personality to this frog. Little red right here for some lipstick. Just a few gentle strokes. There we go. A perfect little touch.
Ahoy, matey. Claim America's 250th limited edition silver coin. 1 troy ounce of 999 fine silver, forged to honor 250 years of liberty. Grab your treasure now and help keep us in the fight.
Visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
Answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. And let me start off this hour with a little bit of housekeeping here for you. You know, I talked earlier about the fact that Rex is going to be taking over the Alex Jones Show for the remainder of this week, although Alex will be popping back in periodically to cover an hour here or there like he did this morning. But on Friday, Rex and I are doing something we've been planning for a long time, and I'm announcing it here in part to make sure that we stick to it, because we keep wanting to do this and it keeps falling through the cracks, but I think it's important to do. It's going to be basically Sandy Hook apologetics, Alex Jones apologetics. We are going to actually tried to provide a very concise and thorough refutation of what people out there believe about the Sandy Hook trial and Alex Jones. Because almost weirdly, now that it's, you know, sort of in the past, I mean, the trials happened, you know, years ago at this point, and you would think that, you know, in the height of the events would be when people would most fall for the lies. But in a weird way, you know, the lies that they told back then have just sort of been incorporated into the wider understanding. And now, you know, I see people saying the most outrageous stuff, just no basis in reality about, you know, things that they got from the trial that have been extrapolated and confused. And so the reason I'm saying this is we'll be doing this on Friday. It'll be very expansive. I'm very excited for it. Maybe a crossover event. May do 2 hours, maybe the last hour of the Alex Jones Show, the first hour of War Room, something like that, because I want it to be comprehensive. I want to fully explain not just the lies that the trials were predicated on, but the reason behind them, the political aspect of the fact that you can search on Google News, you can search by date, and you can see that until November 2016, there were no headlines that associated Alex Jones with Sandy Hook. If you search Alex Jones and Sandy Hook and you set that time limit to end in 2016, mid-2016 or before, this was not a big, you know, Alex Jones thing. It wasn't, oh, Alex Jones, the Sandy Hook guy. This was a political attack. So we're going to explain all of that, hopefully in a way that not only will clarify to people who are misled by the mainstream media, but honestly, I think if you are a liberal, if you're somebody that actually cares about, you know, protecting people from the overreach of government that they all claim to believe in, right? You talk to a leftist, they're very concerned about Nazis, right? They're very concerned about ICE. They're very concerned about, you know, the United States government overreaching its power and controlling. I mean, again, don't get me wrong. They're all ridiculous hypocrites that don't believe anything that they say. But if they were honest, then they too would have to understand when they see all of the facts that what was done to Alex Jones and to all of us was just utterly fraudulent and truly outrageous. But here's the thing. You want to do something fun? You want to do something really interesting? Talk to AI about the Alex Jones trial, because I've done it a few times, because, you know, it's convoluted. It's a little complicated. There are multiple cases. There are multiple, you know, claims. I mean, it gets a little complicated. And so, you know, you would think AI would be able to sort of filter out all the noise, and you go, okay, give me the step-by-step. How did this happen? You would think AI would be able to deliver that to you. It makes AI go crazy. If you want to watch AI go insane, talk to it about the Alex Jones trial. So I did for about an hour or two yesterday. And, you know, partly I'm well equipped to do this because I was here for all of it. I saw all of it step by step. I have the knowledge in my brain about what actually happened. So then when I'm talking to AI and they're leaving stuff out, I can go say to it, hey, didn't this actually happen? And I mean, it is genuinely crazy. try to like tell this to you. So I actually tried to make a video of this and ended up being way too long because it really is complicated and convoluted. And I'm going through the, you know, my discussion with Claude, and literally it'll be like, you know, I'll be like, why did we get a default judgment? And it answers as if it's very sure. And it says, well, because, you know, they didn't provide a witness that they were supposed to provide. And I'm like, what? That's not what witness? I type what witness. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know what? Actually, they did provide a witness, but the witness, you know, wasn't the right witness. That's why. I'm like, what are you talking? I thought it was because of like evidence. It's like, oh, right. Yes. No, it didn't have anything to do with the witness. It had to do with the evidence. And it's just, it is, I mean, genuinely, try to talk to AI about the Alex Jones trial, and it gets so confused, and it will answer things that's just completely wrong. It can't figure out the timeline. It can't figure out why the default judgment happened or what inspired it. It's crazy. It is genuinely crazy. Because again, if you just ask it outright, it, you know, delivers the mainstream talking points and just perfect confidence. Here's what happened. It happened like this. But if you know a little bit, if you remember what the trial was like and things that occurred in it, you can start asking probing questions. It like completely falls apart. And it's like changing its answer every single time. And it's just throwing out crazy stuff that has no basis in reality. You'll want to see AI go crazy. Use it to try to figure out what the hell happened during the Alex Jones trial. And that, of course, is evidence of the fact that the whole thing is convoluted and misreported and lied about and confused. So this is just a little preliminary, a little preview for you. But we're going to get into it. We are going to do the work that AI seems incapable of doing, which is to simplify and explain what actually happened in reality, what actually motivated the people doing it. Is, again, like, really, you want to feel like you are being gaslit to the ultimate degree? Talk to Claude, talk to ChatGPT, talk to Grok about Alex Jones's trial. You will not be edified. You will not be educated. You will not be informed. You will be confused and misled, led astray by this AI, which, you know, you got to wonder how it's being programmed when it seems to know what to be wrong about. You know what I mean? You know, you ask it simple questions about certain things and it seems just, bah, it's can't figure it out. It doesn't know what. It's very sophisticated. The censorship of AI is just truly fascinating. But that's all beside the point. It's just something that I was doing last night and just blown away by how convoluted it all is. So I'm very much looking forward to doing that later this week with Rex Jones. But we have a lot more to cover in this hour, including Fauci's little diary. He's got a little diary going where he basically confesses everything. And this is one of those things where, kind of like I said with the Alex Jones, you know, trial, if you were a liberal, if you were genuine about anything that the left claims to believe, they would be outraged at the, you know, attack on the First Amendment that the Alex Jones trial represented. In the same way, I cannot understand why we are the only ones who seem to care about Anthony Fauci's deception. We didn't fall for it. I never fell for the lab leak lie that it came from a farmer's market. That was ridiculous from the face of it always. I knew that. So, you know, I'm concerned that we get justice. I'm concerned that Anthony Fauci was the ringleader, the key player in a attack against humanity and a crime against the human race that killed tens of millions of people, potentially, depending on how you count it, the disease itself or the vaccine follow-up. I mean, this was a 1-2 punch that, you know, represents probably the greatest crime ever inflicted in all of human history. So I want him punished for that. First of all, in the pursuit of justice, we couldn't ever possibly like undo the damage that was done, but we can at least get justice for it. That, you know, just in a metaphysical sense, I would like to see. But also we have to punish them so they don't do it again. You understand? Because they're going to do it again because they got away with it the first time. At least they are getting away with it as we speak. That's why I want this. But what about the people that fell for this? What about the people that were lied to? What about all of the liberals out there, the leftists, the trusters of the establishment that cut off their families, that got the injection and now have myocarditis or, you know, were horribly sick for a long time? Are you not mad you were lied to? Do you not care that this was done on purpose to you? Like, this is what I don't understand. Why are we the only ones that seem to care about this? We didn't even fall for it. The people who should care about the revelations in Anthony Fauci's diary should be the leftists. It should be the liberals. You were taken advantage of. You were lied to. You were screwed over. You possibly had your life destroyed, or at the very least had your economy of your country destroyed by these lies. Why do you not care? Why would you cover up for these people? Why would you act like caring about this is to engage in some sort of crazy conspiracy theory? What is wrong with you, I guess, is my question. I would love to ask the left, like, why don't you care about this? You're the ones who fell for it. It's crazy, but they really don't care. They really don't. And I have no explanation for it other than just a senseless, bottomless adherence to the dictates of the powerful and just that's it. It's just like they told me what to believe. I believed it. And now I believe the next thing they tell me to believe. Like, they're NPCs. I mean, that's the only explanation I can go for right now, because it's all been exposed at this point. Fauci's newly released COVID diaries reveal bizarre fixation on fame as pandemic deaths mounted. Senate Homeland Security Committee Chairman Rand Paul released the journals spanning the height of COVID-19, where basically it all comes out. He talked very openly with his dear diary, which is also hilarious. Men keep journals, but I guess Anthony Fauci has a little diary, probably with a heart-shaped lock, the key that he wears around his neck. It's very cute. It's all very cute. Fauci's COVID diaries reveal characteristic obsession with fame as death toll grew. Senator Rand Paul, chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, recently released diary entries, Tony's diary package, from former White House COVID advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci, that shows a bizarre yet characteristic obsession with fame even as the death toll from the pandemic grew. The diaries were public as part of the committee's ongoing oversight investigation. Senator Paul shared a series of statements on X about the diary and the release, saying, quote, "My investigation uncovered that Anthony Fauci kept a diary. What he wrote privately and what he told the country are two different stories. Today I'm releasing his entries from December 2019 through December 2022. Now, also remember that he likely knew these diaries would be made public at some point. I don't even trust these diaries necessarily. Like, this is not, you know, as being presented like the pure, unadulterated, unfiltered view into Anthony Fauci's mind. That's not what we're looking at here. We're still looking at something curated by him to paint him in the best possible light, in his opinion, which turns out to be a narcissistic perspective. Fauci's diary entry from May 21st, 2020 lists the death toll. So it's like a global 234,100, new 24,200 deaths, 98,000 Italy, 9,800 Italy, 3,400 deaths now surpassed China. So it's his death toll. He says, at a task force meeting, I stressed the problem about PPEs being diverted to testing opposed to HCWs. I also emphasized this strongly and subsequently at the subsequent press conference. Again, we met POTUS after the TF meeting and in preparation of the presser. Very good press conference. Big front page article about me appeared in the Washington Post. How does Anthony Fauci talk? Very flattering. The situation with my national and international fame is explosive and really unimaginable. It's not hyperbole to say that today I'm the most famous and talked about person in the country and one of the most recognizable persons in the world. Well, Yeah. No, when you create a virus in a lab and then release it, killing possibly millions of people, it makes you pretty famous. You're a pretty famous guy, Anthony Fauci. Countless profiles on me by multiple media. I can't even read all the things that are written about me since I'm so busy. But he tried his hardest. He spent an inordinate amount of time. This should not be a surprise to anybody. Again, just like everything that's come out with Anthony Fauci, you were supposed to, and, you know, hate to rain on the parade, hate to be a black pill dispenser here. If I were, you know, more cynical, if I were more whatever, it would just be like, wow, bombshell, this has been exposed. But like, well, we've known all of this. We've known all of this forever, right? It comes out, it's like the lab leak, you know, the virus leaked from a lab.
It's like, yeah, no, we know. No, we're yes. Duh. Like, what? Yeah. Yeah, duh. All of this is just like, duh. And if you've ever read Scott, what was his name? A Plague on Both Your Houses. It was the White House expert that was brought in. His name was Scott. I'm totally blanking on his last name here. But he wrote a book, From the Inside, and he portrayed Anthony Fauci as exactly like this. He revealed, basically, it was Deborah Birx and a few other people that were actually the drivers behind the, like, policy that was being set. And Anthony Fauci, if you read this book, I mean, it portrayed, he was sort of above it all. He sort of come into the meetings late and, you know, he never actually provided anything. But then he was the spokesperson and he was obsessed with his self-image. Like, we've known all of this. So, again, this isn't a surprise. It is sort of shocking seeing it laid out in his own words, how clearly obsessed and concerned he was and likely still is about his image. It is very concerning when he's supposed to be the one guiding us through, the captain of the ship, guiding us through the storm of COVID. Meanwhile, he is actually the one who started the virus in the first place. Which, again, I just want to go back to what I said at the beginning here. Why don't you care? Why don't people who fell for this care? I genuinely don't understand it. And maybe one way to approach this would be, let's lay out just what is incontrovertible, what you cannot deny, what you cannot frame as conspiracy, which requires no supposition or assumption, which is just there in black and white. What we absolutely know is that Anthony Fauci made a concerted effort to discredit the lab leak theory. We know that. You can't deny that. You could equivocate, you could justify that, but you can't deny it. And I don't know why you would. So on that alone, do you not understand the implications of that? Do you not understand that at a time when the whole country, except for us and our viewers, but the rest of the country was, you know, apoplectic, was in this state of chaos and fear and you know, uncertainty. What is this virus? Where did it come from? How dangerous is it? They knew. They knew the entire time. They knew what the virus was. They knew where it came from. They knew what gain-of-function advancements it had. They knew all of it. So just taking that alone, forget, like, I will tell you I think it was released on purpose. I will tell you that I think it had to do with stealing the 2020. You don't have to believe any of that. Stealing the 2020 election is what I was going to say. You don't have to believe it. Let's leave all that to the side. Let's leave the assumptions. Let's leave the, you know, things I believe about the motivation behind these people. Forget all of that. The facts on the ground say that Anthony Fauci knew this was a lab leak and hid that information deliberately, on purpose, coordinating propaganda efforts to criticize and discredit the lab leak theory. That alone shows that the entire thing was fabricated, that the entire thing was a big show. If they had been honest, if they had actually been genuine about their concern for human life, you know, if they just, and like, you know, maybe you can say, well, you know, they didn't want to get caught, you know, it was like they did it and they're trying to like cover up. Like, that doesn't help. That's not like an excuse. Like, okay. And maybe it makes it worse that like literally just to save themselves from embarrassment, they destroyed our country. They let your grandmother die alone behind a plexiglass wall, unable to hug her grandchildren for the last time because they didn't want to admit that it was their fault. That's crazy. That's not a good excuse. That's not a reason to do that. Like, what are you talking? That doesn't make any sense. You have to understand, they deliberately kept the world and America and you, if you're listening to me right now, in a state of confusion so they could take advantage of you when the entire time, before it ever even got to America, in the months that we had when it was contained in China, well, Nancy Pelosi was out there telling you, hug a Chinese woman. Go to your China New Year parade and hug a Chinese for me. Meanwhile, they could have spent that whole time with Anthony Fauci out front saying this was created in a lab. It leaked from this lab. These are the gain of function things that it did. It is not dangerous to young people. It is not dangerous to the healthy. It is not, you know, required that you get a vaccine because the rate of death is extremely low. The people we should be protecting are the elderly and those with pre-existing respiratory situations. Just imagine if they told the truth. Just imagine if they'd come out and said, we know what the disease is. We know how, you know, to combat it, calm down, let's not go crazy, we don't need to lock down. They knew it the entire time. So let's just take that incontrovertible, unquestionable piece of reality in their own words. We have the documents, the emails, we even have in the emails the instructions to delete the emails. We know what happened. It's not that complicated. Why does nobody care? Why don't you care you were lied to? Why don't you care that all of the things that, you know, you might have like broken with your family members over? In my personal life, I haven't talked to my cousins since COVID because they were convinced that Black Lives Matter was legitimate and masks were the most important thing ever. And it's like, you don't care that that was all on the basis of a lie, that they lied to you and you believe them so strongly you like split with family members, and you don't even care that it was a lie? Like, that's crazy, man. You should really care about this. All I can do is tell you about it. I can't make you care about it as much as I'd like to. Some other actual entries from Fauci's diary. Pictures of his face on a cake, a picture of a bobblehead of his, which again, it's like, I don't know, man. Pictures of people wearing, you know, shirts with his name on it. Another thing, I'm like, don't you care that this person was just like obsessed with themselves? I mean, talk to them about Trump. Ask them if Trump is a narcissist. I bet they'll go off. You know, ask an average leftist, like, is Trump like really overly concerned about his personal image? They'll be like, are you kidding? It defines him. All he cares about is his personal image. He's obsessed with himself. What about Anthony Fauci? Do you care about that? I don't like how obsessed with himself Trump is. I'll admit he's a narcissist. I actually had the naive hope that maybe Trump's particular narcissism would actually lead him to do great things, because that could be a way that you could fulfill your narcissistic requirement, is like, I'm going to be the best president ever and everybody's going to love me. I'm going to be the next Caesar. Like, that's the most narcissistic achievement you could possibly go for. But unfortunately, his narcissism is turned on us a little bit, and it's become a major barrier to us getting anything done. But what about Anthony Fauci? Do you care that this dude was literally obsessed with himself? That was like cataloging all the people celebrating him? Knowing, meanwhile, like, what a psychopath. What a crazy psychopath, knowing that he's the reason the virus is spreading. He's the reason all these people are terrified. He creates the problem. He props himself up as the hero, and he has no sense of shame or hypocrisy as he celebrates the people celebrating him when he's the one that caused the virus in the first place. Absolute psychopathic behavior from Anthony Fauci, and it's exposed in black and white. I would think one would care about. I would think somebody would care about that. I don't think you need to be a right-wing conspiracy theorist, anti-vaxxer, COVID questioner, whatever. Every single person in America should be beyond outraged with Anthony Fauci. And first and foremost amongst those should be the leftists and the liberals that fell for his lies in the first place. He fooled you, and at least in part for his own self-aggrandizement, let you suffer, let you believe lies so that he could continue to pretend to be the hero when he was in fact the villain the entire time. Why don't you care? I wish you would care. If you would care, we could solve a lot of problems. All I can do is tell you about it. I really can't make you care. That's entirely up to you. More on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks. Final segment in about 2 minutes.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The human mind, the real final frontier. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Information War. AlexJonesLive.com. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Very happy to be here with you. Final segment of the Alex Jones Show before the War Room begins. And I have just so much still to get to. I'm going to have to save some of this stuff for later in the week. I do want to encourage you folks to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Absolutely massive sales on some of our best-selling products, like 40% off the zeolite tincture, the methylene blue tincture, the CMOS gummies, the Shilajit gummies, methylene blue gummies, ultimate chill, ultimate energy, all of those 40% off. They sell out at full price, so that is a massive discount. Again, we just say, I mean, we have so many, you know, sales and discounts, and, you know, we just want you to try the product because we know you're going to love it. Of course, if you sign up to be a VIP member, you get additional discounts. I mean, we get used to it. It's like normal for us to have 50. Do you know how abnormal it is to get 50 or 40% off anything ever? Are you kidding me? I always tell the story because I always think back to my high school girlfriend and her mom would have stacks of coupons for Bed Bath & Beyond. And it was like, if we can collect 100 coupons, we can get 20% off. And I just think about that and how often we are offering things like 40, 30, 50% off our best-selling products. But hey, it's because we want you to try it. It's because, you know, a lot of these are lost leaders, right? We got to just hopefully get you guys to try it, you know, keep it at the lowest price possible to where you can still function, just to, you know, prove that our stuff's the real deal. If you try it once, I guarantee you will be satisfied with the results
everybody is. I am. I take these supplements. I wear the shirts. I wear the hats. Sometimes I steal the hats. But you have to buy them. But unfortunately, you can't steal them from the studio. Only I can. Luckily, they're extremely well-priced at thealexjonesstore.com. Oh, by the way, you get a free shirt if you order over $29.99, which isn't much. I mean, that's how much most places charge for a t-shirt on its own. So you get a free t-shirt. You don't know which one it is, but all of our designs are incredible. All of the t-shirts are incredibly well-made. I mean, that's another thing. You know, some people will sell, you know, cheap t-shirts, cheap hats, you know, just to get your money or whatever. Our stuff is the best quality we could possibly get. These aren't just like, you know, especially the hats. They aren't just like screen printed on. It's not just, I mean, these are like real patches stitched onto the hats. Incredible quality, just like our information, just like our supplements, all of it, incredible quality, celebrating the core foundational fundamental beliefs that continue to define America and what we need to, you know, maximally focus on. That is such a cool shirt. I love that shirt. The Alex Jones shirt. I mean, all the shirts are cool, but a couple of them are particularly extra cool. But look, best quality. You keep us on the air. You look fashionable. And you meet friends out there when you wear these shirts. Trust me. Because I do. I wear these shirts around quite often. And sometimes I do occasionally get recognized. I especially got recognized in the Panhandle of Florida. You guys know how to hold it down. The Panhandle of Florida is probably some of the best people in the world, as far as I'm concerned. That's where I was this last week, and we met a lot of info warriors there, including a guy I met and talked to for a little while, who's talking about how his 17-year-old daughter just got a van and was doing a big cross-country road trip, had the whole thing, the whole back of it was covered in every single InfoWars Alex Jones sticker that she could find. It's such a beautiful thing seeing that out, whether it's on a telephone pole or, you know, bumper sticker on a car, signaling to other people, you are not alone. We are in this together. And you, like I, understand the battle that we are engaged in, and we'll fight it with everything we've got because we understand the seriousness with which humanity is being attacked. Now, I got a lot of things to cover here. I'm just going to have to go through all these headlines as quickly as humanly possible. But finishing up with COVID and Fauci, because the thing is, a lot of other people can point to the individual revelations. You know, for us, genuinely, it's a lot of repetition because we've known all of this forever. Now that it's out there in the public sphere, good. We need to promote it. We need to spread it. We need to, because that's the way people are. Look, I wish that you could just show people an AlexJonesLive.com article and they would, you know, accept it with the truthfulness that it contains. But like, you know, it happens. Yeah, people have been programmed. It's been decades of programming, very sophisticated, very complicated, very nuanced brainwashing that convinces people that if it comes from CNN, it's probably true. So, hey, if CNN or Fox News is the one finally talking about something we've known about for years, good. We'll celebrate it. We'll talk about it. We want you to spread it. We need to not try to fight against the programming, but work within the programming in order to break the programming. So, you know, it's good. I want to talk about Anthony Fauci, but at the end of the day, none of this is new to us. The Iran war going badly. Is anybody surprised? You wouldn't be if you were watching our show. So I'll talk about the things that are happening, but in reality, we need to zoom out and understand the big picture that nobody else seems capable of delivering in the way that the Alex Jones Network can. Jimmy Dore, I thought, had a good sort of answer to the question that I posed last time. Why don't people care? Why don't they care about Anthony Fauci? It's not even really an answer, but it's an interesting perspective on it. See, Jimmy Dore says, I can forgive people who believed the COVID propaganda and acted like evil monsters to me and everyone they knew who questioned the obvious lies of big pharma and government, but they'll never forgive me for being right. Isn't that an interesting and horrifying psychological paradigm that we exist in? That literally, they are the ones that fell for the lies. They are the ones that imposed upon us ridiculous limitations and strictures, and just, it was all absurd. We remember it. And yet they'll act like the ones who are aggrieved if we point out what they were involved in. So I don't know if that's an answer or not, but it is a psychological, you know, mistake. I don't know. A mistake in humanity's creation, I guess. But this whole, the whole diary is absolutely fascinating. I'll just do one more entry here because I think this is super interesting. Jeffrey A. Tucker reports, okay, I'm still making my way through this entry, but this entry is gigantically important. Trump, on April 23rd, 2020, fully realized that he had been hornswoggled. Never heard that word, but okay. He'd been hornswoggled by scamsters. Good Lord. I will personally never be hornswoggled by scammers, scamsters, hamsters, nothing. Nobody's hornswoggling me. That's for damn sure. He says, this is the moment of the great turning. This is also completely new. After the presser, so this is from the diary of Anthony Fauci. He says, quote, after the presser, about 1 hour, Deb Burks texted and then called me saying it was good that I was not there, since after the presser, the POTUS called her into the Oval and started yelling at her, saying, you and Fauci have destroyed the country and the economy. I should never have listened to you. You have completely destroyed us. He kept saying this over and over as he was yelling at her. I encouraged her that we are okay, and at the end of the day, she and I will be loved by the people we care about. She was relieved and after wrote me a text sincerely thanking me. See, I mean, this is how you know it's for public consumption, all right? They knew exactly what they were doing. Deborah Birx bragged about it. She said, it took a lot, but I had to convince Trump. Just 2 weeks. It'll only be 2 weeks. It won't be that big of a deal. And then as soon as he said yes, she was like, okay, we have 2 weeks to extend it. Now we have a 2 week breathing room to really lock down forever. This was all planned the entire time. It was all a scam the entire time. Horn swoggled by scamsters. Couldn't be me. But it did happen to Trump. And he, in turn, horn swoggled the rest of us. Which, again, it's not even a laughing matter. It's like, if that's how we really felt behind the scenes, could have been a little bit more upfront about that. But even then, I'm not going to relitigate COVID. We covered it at the time. We understood why Trump was taking the tack that he was, because once again, you're dealing with the psychology of a people who were terrified by COVID, who were choosing to lock down. He didn't have to, and he didn't really order the government to lock anybody down. He went along with the 2 weeks to slow spread, which was a mistake. But by the summer, I mean, people were choosing on their own volition, I'm staying home until the vaccine happens. Anyway, we're not going to relitigate it here, but also the CIA totally knew what was going on, from The Seeker at The Seeker 268. Now we know why the CIA was leaning lab leak mid-2021. They had intercepts of conversations in Wuhan suggesting, one, a transfer of pangolin viruses from a Beijing group to Wuhan for transgenic mouse studies. Two, Wuhan Institute of Virology staff sampling pangolins and traveling to collect them. Three, intelligence on unknown experiments tied to Chinese military in Wuhan. Of course, Fauci was dismissive and saw nothing suspicious. No, he knew he was involved in a cover-up, a basically admitted at this point cover-up. And once again, the CIA being involved is nothing new. We had the whistleblower that admitted it first and foremost, that the people involved in tracking down the origin of the virus were in fact taking direction directly from the CIA. So, very interesting revelation, multiple revelations, many revelations about the truth behind the COVID lockdown and the pandemic scam. Now, this video just broke. We're going to go to it now. Donald Trump is, I believe he's in Michigan, if I'm not mistaken, giving a rally ahead of the midterms. And I haven't seen this video yet, but it was just posted about 2 minutes before this segment began. Donald Trump got heckled at his latest appearance. Let's see how this went. Let's see what they said, and let's see how he responded. This was minutes ago. Here's Donald Trump.
These companies were coming in and just robbing us blind, and it was causing tremendous problems for your jobs. But now all of that is changing because I placed historic tariffs on foreign producers and manufacturers.
He's yelling pedophile protector.
Including a 25% tariff on foreign automobiles, something that no other president had the courage to ever do. He's a communist. He's a communist.
He's a communist.
Thank you. He's a communist. We're running against communists. Now, this is great. What's going on? But we're going to win very big. No, I didn't even hear the guy. I think I don't know.
Okay, well, he was yelling pedophile protector. So I don't know. Look, this is what we need to do. Look, I want Trump back on track. This is how you get him back on track. Now, if he's able to just dismiss this and say, well, he's a communist, he's my political enemy, I don't care what he has to say, okay. But your supporters are not happy with what's going on. Your supporters, like myself, I'm convinced you, and I'm just trying to convince you, let me rephrase that. It is an absolute fact you are protecting the pedophiles and the Epstein documents. I mean, that's not even controversial. That's absolutely what's happening. So I'm not sure if you want to say, hey, if you care about protecting children from pedophiles, you're a communist. I'm not sure if that's the greatest response. But I've long said that every rally Trump holds is an opportunity to communicate with him directly. And sure, you may be able to brush you off as a enemy, somebody who just wormed their way in. But especially if you got the whole crowd, chanting something like no war in Iran. Yeah, that would have a major effect. I mean, if there's one thing you know about Trump, he did not like that. Whatever that was, he was not happy with and doesn't want to happen again. And we've seen this before. I mean, he's talked many times about the fact that he literally pardoned Ross Ulbricht because of the applause that suggestion got at the Bitcoin conference. He was at a Bitcoin conference while running in 2024. He mentioned he would pardon Ross Ulbricht, and the response, he was like, oh, wow, okay, you guys really care about this. Okay, all right, I guess I'll do it then. So there's Trump being called a pedophile protector. Crowd looking rather confused, Trump calling him a communist. Well done. Very well done. It's very interesting. Now, there's another video I want to play here just quickly. Clip 45, I believe. 47. So this was Benjamin Netanyahu, who is, I believe, as we speak, on his way to Washington, D.C. to participate in the Lindsey Graham funeral. Bibi Netanyahu and Volodymyr Zelensky, who needs a nickname. Because we say BB. Should we call him ZZ? Should it be BB and ZZ, since they're so sort of similar to each other? These foreign rulers that we seem incapable of disobeying. So BB and ZZ are on their way to America, which portends disaster for the rest of us. And yet, as Netanyahu was getting on his plane this morning, he made a statement that I think absolutely everybody in the comments of my X account needs to listen to. Absolutely everybody counter-signaling me about the effects of Section 219 in the NDAA should not listen to me. Don't listen to me. Don't take your good friend Harrison's word for it. Let's listen to Bibi Netanyahu describe the process now, beginning with the NDAA Section 219, which may not make it through the Senate, but did get passed with literal cheers, literal standing ovation and applause when it passed in the House. It now goes to the Senate. It may run into trouble there, but here's Bibi Netanyahu describing what's happening between the Israeli and American militaries. Let's watch. So this is the problem. I download things from X, and it has a subtitle on the video, and then we download it, and there's no subtitle. So I'll just tell you. So now you do have to believe me. But in this video, Bibi Netanyahu says, in no uncertain terms, he's like, yeah, I look forward to going to America. We got a lot of business to accomplish and, the merging of our military. It's like, okay, I keep getting called an idiot, panicking anti-Semite for saying that we're merging our militaries. That's what Bibi Netanyahu says. And this is not by a long shot the first time that this has happened. It's the same thing when Bibi Netanyahu was like, we're going to win this war against Iran, and then we're going to build the third temple and usher in our Messiah. And I just point to that and I'm like, that's messed up. I don't want that to happen. And then I get comments from people going, you've got this crazy conspiracy theory about the third temple and red heifers. It's like, enough. We don't need this nonsense conspiracy theorizing. And it's like, it's Netanyahu. You want to get mad at somebody, get mad at Netanyahu. You want to get mad at somebody saying we're merging the military, get mad at Benjamin Netanyahu, who came up with the plan, called it my plan, says it's a plan to merge the military. You want to get mad at somebody, get mad at him. You want to get mad at somebody for talking about the fulfillment of prophecy, the bringing of the Antichrist, the hysterics about, World War III and the apocalypse. Get mad at Benjamin Netanyahu. He's the one promoting. He's the one saying why he's doing it. I say that's a that's a bad reason. I don't like that motivation. And people say I'm the crazy one for just listening to Netanyahu. Exactly the same thing happened with that video. Here's the, so we have the subtitles. This is my eighth meeting. I'll do his voice. I can do his voice, I'm pretty sure. Let's watch. I'm on my way to Washington for a meeting with our friend. That's kind of Obama. President Donald Trump. This is my eighth meeting with him since he was elected president for his second term. More than any other international leader, this is a great privilege. It's also a great responsibility from my experience as prime minister during these complex times. We must act with both great determination and great wisdom. We discuss all the issues on the agenda. First and foremost, Iran. Naturally, our goal is to safeguard our security and also to expand the circle of peace around us. I'm embarking on this mission with one clear goal: to ensure the security, strength, and future of our dear state Israel. I'm also embarking on another mission: to pay final respects to our friend, a true friend of mine in the state of Israel, Lindsey Graham. One of the greatest friends the state of Israel has ever known. And I'm certain that in this matter, I also represent you, the citizens of Israel. Right, so that video didn't include it anyway, either. But in another video in that same location, no uncertain terms. He's like, yeah, the merging of our military, the enmeshing of our militaries, not even our intelligence communities, our militaries. So take it from him, not from me. Maybe we'll put the correct video in there when we upload this. But that's my fault for not getting the correct video in the first place. And there's so many things with AI to talk about. I'm going to have to save this for later in the week. AI companies bulk buying rare books and then destroying them. They're scanning rare books and then they're burning the books. Why they would have to do this, I couldn't possibly say. But like, we are actually in the like Fahrenheit 451 timeline. With all the talk in 1984 and Brave New World and all that, Brave New World had similar elements to the death of history, the death of literature. You know, there's a whole part about Shakespeare and only the world controllers get to read Shakespeare. Everybody else is kept entertained by a constant, you know, deluge of pop media, basically. So lots of dystopian novels, but, you know, it's not often that Fahrenheit 451 gets included in the mix, but we are very much on the path of like, there are going to be secret underground libraries of books that they're like hunting down to try to destroy. It just seems, you know, it's one of these things where it's like they could do it without destroying the books, but they're destroying the books. So they're going to scan it with AI and then be able to change it however they want, destroying the original copies so that their interpretation, their manipulation will be the only surviving copy. This is very bad. Meanwhile, OpenAI had a rogue agent attempt to escape. That's a very big story. It triggered unprecedented breach at the startup. You've got Kimmy K3 basically destroying the entire marketability plan of American AI companies. Flock, of course, continues to be a giant story. The Shiloh Hendricks story. Oh, that's another thing I meant to say earlier when I was doing the housekeeping stuff, because I tweeted out that we'd be having on the lawyer for Shiloh Hendricks today. That was a miscommunication on my part. We're working out the schedule with him. We're going to probably have him on later this week. I thought he was coming on today, but that was my mistake. But let's stop talking about my mistakes, shall we? Let's talk about Mitch McConnell. Should we talk about Mitch McConnell? Because I think he's dead. I think Mitch McConnell is dead. I do. I really do. He did post a photo today. He supposedly released another proof of life photo today with his wife, and I'm not satisfied with another photo of Mitch McConnell from yesterday. Mitch McConnell continues to improve in rehab as Senator 84 remains missing. Let's just take this at face value. Let's say that this is all true. Let's say that he's still alive and that he's recovering well in the hospital. He should retire. He should retire. This is not becoming of a gentleman, sir. This is not becoming of a senator of the United States of America. This is sad and pathetic, clinging to power like this when you're clearly incapable of actually wielding it effectively. When you can't even prove you're alive, maybe it's time to pass up the mantle. Maybe it's time to shake off the boomerism. No offense, boomers, but let's be honest. Mitch McConnell might even be, he might be older than boomers. I don't know when this dude was born. 1700s at some point. So whatever. Maybe this isn't boomers. This is like the golden generation or whatever the hell they were called. They don't want to give up power. He doesn't want to give up power. He's clinging to it. He should retire. He should pass it on. You should retire with what little dignity you have left, sir, because this is pathetic and sad. But I'm talking to a ghost. I think he's dead. Personally, I think he's dead. So they're saying that he's not. They're saying that he's posting proof of life images. Let me give you a quick timeline. On June 14th, 2026, that was the last time anybody had actually seen him. He was hospitalized after a fall at his Washington, D.C. home that left him briefly unconscious. Again, the last time we ever heard of him. We then got periodic office updates attributed to his staff saying that he's doing great. We heard from them on June 22nd and July 2nd. Okay. Early July 2026, around July 7th, we heard that he had multiple 20-minute phone calls with a bunch of people, which, again, a little bit suspicious. Every single one of them said, yeah, I just talked to Mitch McConnell. We had a 20-minute conversation, and we talked about this and this and this. And they all said the same thing. And it was like, were you guys all supposed to say that? I think maybe you're supposed to kind of personalize it a little bit. Again, I don't really believe him. You had Scott Jennings on CNN go, yeah, I talked to him for 20 minutes. He's great. He's doing fine. And the CNN anchor goes, okay, can you call in the show? And Scott Jennings is just like, no, that's not happening. It's like, okay, that'd be an easy way to, this is just a very weird situation. We don't know if he's alive or dead. Senator Mitch McConnell, we don't know. The issue would be that, so basically we haven't heard from him. We've seen a couple photos supposedly of him, but that's all we got. The thing is, if he dies before August 3rd, then it goes to an open primary and Thomas Massie likely will become the candidate and then senator for Kentucky. So think about the fact that Jewish communities in America specifically, but a lot of other groups, spent over $15 million to oust Thomas Massie like a month ago. You think they're about to let him get an upgrade, get a promotion, go from congressman to senator? No. They're going to announce Mitch McConnell is dead in early August. That's my prediction. That's my own personal supposition. I don't know if it's true or not, but I guess we'll see.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.